This is a verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus.
Wow. Welcome back to the Sefcik Show. Luke Staley is back on the show. He was on episode 2. Man, you were on the second episode ever. Now we're in our 40s. You know that? In the episodes. I don't know exactly which one, but we're like on 43, 44, 40. I don't know which episode this is. But you were on episode 2, the start of it, man. And people still talk about that show. We're so influenced by you, and we appreciate your word. You're such a good buddy and role model for Christ in our community. And me and you have that same we love Christ, but we also love mixed martial arts. So to have you on the show, it's like I'm always talking to a best friend, man. And I just appreciate you being back on.
Brother.
We're going to pray in as we do every show. Lord God, just thank you for letting us have this fellowship here. Just pray over me and Luke's conversation today, that it's filled with whatever you want us to speak of. Let the Spirit fall in this room now, Lord God, and that way we can impact not just our relationship, but also the people listening in, that they get a word that's going to take them today and hopefully into the rest of their lives, Lord God. And as we study, you know, things like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and other things we talk about today, just let it be for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Luke, praise God. You have been very busy. You know what I'm saying? For the kingdom. You're involved with a huge organization. You play a pivotal role in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA. And I know you guys had an incredible summer because you were able to send me newsletters and send me pictures and stuff and of what you guys have done, not just in this region, but in other countries as well. And I'd love for you just to update us of what's been going on with you and the organization that you're a part of and how it's serving the kingdom and what you're seeing.
Yeah, praise God. God has just been very faithful to FCA's ministry this summer. I was a part of five sports ministry camps, which are camps where we use sports to attract coaches and athletes, some Christian, some not Christian. But we bring them together through the incredible medium of sports and then use that to share the gospel and share God's influence on these coaches and athletes. Yeah, we did some local camps, some multi-state camps. We did maybe my favorite camp that we do every summer, Maryland State FCA does what we call an all abilities camp, which is a sports camp for athletes with all abilities. Maybe they have a mental or physical disability.
Wow.
And we get to work with them. That's just incredible. And then I was in the Middle East. I was in Armenia with our full-time FC Armenia and actually a full-time FCA Ukrainian staff doing a FCA mixed martial arts camp in Armenia. And we had over 100 coaches and athletes and a former UFC fighter, Nate Marquardt, there helping share the gospel through the ministry of sports and faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. How many for the Armenian one? How many like people actually showed up to that? Like how many like practitioners came? So I know you had a lot of coaches. So it was like 100 people total.
Wow, that's a lot. Probably more. We did a residential camp where campers came and stayed overnight. Mm. The youngest was 14, and I think the oldest was 24. All amateur, aspiring, and we even had a couple professional fighters come out.
Awesome.
And that was for 3 or 4 days. And then we did a second one-day seminar at actually the Armenian Olympic Training Center. Beautiful facility where we got probably close to another like 75 to 90 people come where we were able to share the gospel. So all in all, campers probably close to like 150. And then coaches included and volunteers and staff, man, maybe like closer to like 175.
Wow.
We got to share the gospel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really incredible. Cool. And that's out of country for that kind of gathering. I mean, the Lord's obviously using you guys. And it's been around for a while. And to see, and I knew when you first came and talked to me about FCA and how you're getting involved with it, I was just so excited for you to bring your expertise and your fire for the Lord, man, to that. And I just seen just in this area alone how big it's gotten and how much more people know about it.
Yeah.
And just, you know what I'm saying? Let's be honest, because it was kind of, I feel like it wasn't huge, but now it's like growing, praise God. And we're going to continue to watch. So those of you tuning in, you know, check out FCA, especially the Frederick location. You can contact Luke Staley, look him up. If you ever want to be involved or support in any way, he's the man to contact in this area, in this region. And we're just thankful for what they're doing. So, Luke, other than that, obviously you're still crushing it in martial arts, man. Like, you know, especially in the jiu-jitsu. I know you have an incredible record in MMA, but just in the jiu-jitsu one-on-one fights you've been having lately, you know, it's not like you're just going to tournaments and winning. You're having these big matches one-on-one. I know you have something coming up, or at least, wait, you have two things coming up. Can you share us with what's coming up so we can keep an eye on you?
Yeah, so I'll be the main event in a smaller but really good regional promotion called Arena Grappling. I'll be going against a really tough black belt named Luke Chamois, and that will be I'll be competing on the 17th, and they'll be streaming it pay-per-view on the 24th.
Wow.
And then I'll also be competing live on Flow Grappling, a little bit bigger of a stage. Flow Grappling on Finishes Only against a good 10th Planet brown belt. And all of this competition is in prep for ADCC North American Trials, one of the toughest, most prestigious tournaments in the country. Mm. Basically the Olympic trials for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Nogi grappling. And yeah, with it hit its cap. There's 256 competitors at my weight class. Oh, single round elimination. The trials battle down to one.
That's awesome.
One guy. So there'll be one guy out of 256. The winner gets to go to the ADCC championships.
Wow.
In Vegas. So, yeah, I'm going to go and do the best I can, glorify God, and hopefully get some experience. I don't think I'll win it this year. But in 2 years' time or 4 years' time, I do want to make a run at trying to qualify for the championship. So I feel like I increase my chances to win it in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years if I go now.
Absolutely.
And get an idea for the level of competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like you just said, especially in mixed martial arts, it's like you're going and you're planting the seed in a way. It's like you're going and seeing what level it's at, where you're making the mistakes, so you can go back to the pad and paper, right? Go back to the mats, fix the mistakes, come back stronger next year. And whenever, and this goes for anybody who ever maybe is too shy to compete, maybe you're training in jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai or whatever it might be, and you haven't competed yet, listen, get the nerves aside, get the ego aside, get that aside and go compete. And no matter what, it's almost like you evolve coming out of there. You're a new person. No matter win or lose, you're like, oh man, I'm really glad I experienced that. And then when you're on the mats, you truly are a different person, especially like with my students at my gym. When they come back from a tournament, especially their first one, there's something edgier about, there's something better about them, because they know they're different than, no matter how they did, they're a different person on the mat. Makes sense?
For sure. Yeah. But ultimately, I mean, at this point in my, mixed martial arts journey, as far as competing goes, the most important thing is just increasing my platform to spread the name of Jesus. So, yeah, that's really what I'm excited to talk about today.
You're like, the most important thing is win and destroy it. Okay. No, I've seen that with you too, man. You always give glory to Yahushua, to Jesus, man. And we're thankful for that we have a brother out there literally fighting for the kingdom. I mean, it's another way. You know, we're in spiritual war, man. We're in mental war, emotional war, and physical war as well, you know. And something that I've been loving to watch, man. You're one of my favorite athletes.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I love watching you. Hey, just real quick, I forgot to do this at the beginning of the episode, but we have shirts, the Sefcik Show shirts, all right? If you want to support the show, hit us up. You'll grab a shirt and you'll support us. I actually want to give my buddy Luke one right now, special edition Sefcik Show dry fit, so you can grab on it, my brother.
Appreciate
you can do all that
dog.
Stuff.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
It'll be an honor if you wear that literally every night when you go to bed. No, I'm kidding. But that's the Sefcik Show shirt, you guys. And they're just cool little dry fits that, thanks to a couple little sponsors, we were able to get. And we wanted to make sure, yeah, thanks, Luke, for holding that up. On the back, we'll say all available platforms right there. Boom. We're on all platforms. Google, Amazon,
Spotify.
Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Cool. What when you listen to podcasts, what do you mostly listen on? Luke?
Spotify. I'm a big podcast while I'm in the car. I remember listening to your Ryan Morris podcast in the car.
Ryan's cool, huh?
Yeah, awesome leader.
Like
for
that
the
guy.
Kingdom. Yeah, but yeah, just remember putting on the Sefcik Show while I'm driving. Podcasts while I'm on the road. Spotify's the easiest.
True that. And it's safer because you can't be watching YouTube, watching the, you know what I'm saying? The visual, guys,
sure.
That you want to watch the show, which some of you guys are doing right now, it's on YouTube. But everywhere else, if you're listening right now, it's on all other platforms for listening. But for you to watch us and see me and Luke's face, this, for those of you listening and aren't watching, Luke's face is, I'd probably, it's similar to an angel. I would say it was like an, it's like an angel.
Terrifying.
and he says that because if you actually read about angels in the Bible, it ain't did these. The,
I have to tell people, please don't be afraid. This is just how I look.
Lou, let's get into it, man. Me and you, our favorite topic to talk about is Jesus. It is the Bible. And, you know, when I messaged you to come back on, you were like, bro, absolutely. Anytime I get to talk about Christ and inform more people and have a talk with a brother about it, it's literally, I think that's the best thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
And
everything else that we talk about will fade away, but the word of God will last forever. Mm, like amen. That's the only thing that lasts, man. There's nothing better to talk about.
And you're like me, man. We have so much on our hearts, especially when it comes to what we're reading in the Bible. I would like to know, you said it at the beginning of the show, can you read that verse again? Let's get right into where like the Spirit's leading us to talk about that.
Yeah, man, there's so many things I'd love to touch on, but this was just one of my heart. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's God's command for us to always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And we talked about at the beginning of the show, starting with the last part of the verse, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This specific passage in scripture is only addressing Christians, right? Like if someone doesn't know Christ yet, I'm not going to share that with them. I'm going to share John 3:16. I'm going to go to Romans Road. First, know Jesus, right? Mm. And this verse is only applying to those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And in short, the thing that we were talking about before the show is I was thinking about sharing this with my church on Sunday and realizing that this can be somewhat of an offensive message. Always be joyful, an offensive message. But think about this. When a pastor or a young, energetic missionary comes up and says, hey, always be joyful, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Being thoughtful and thinking about how there are people in the congregation, in your church, in your classroom, in your gym, who are going through really difficult times. I won't get into two specifics, but a coach that I know through FCA who lost a child, which is just the worst thing that I could ever think of. And thinking about preaching the word of God like this, to always be joyful, I mean, that can be offensive to someone who's going through really difficult times. But when thinking about this verse, the offensive message to always be joyful, some of the things that convict me are understanding that God's goodness, the holy goodness of God, is not based on how easy or how hard your life circumstances are at any given time. And we act like that sometimes when our lives are great. We think God is so good. But when our life circumstances are hard, we think, oh, God is less good. And it's a really hard truth, not necessarily to understand, but sometimes to accept and to remind ourselves that God's holy goodness is not determined by how blessed or how unblessed you're feeling at any given moment. And I understand that, man, that command to always be joyful and to be thankful in all circumstances, that can be hard, you know, to accept at certain points in our lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, I just think of like, I mean, we can share personal experiences ourselves as well, where it's like, because we study this now and know this is what God says for us to actually not just sometimes be, but this is what it says, be joyful always. This is what God's telling us. So we need to make sure that we are that, even in like the worst times or the hardest times, it is to be joyful. And the reason we do these studies is to put this on our hearts now, so when those hard times do come and those times our emotions and feelings and we feel almost, we are like broken and hurting and lost, and we want to cry out to the Lord and like say, why? We have these on our hearts so that we can and that's why it's so important to study this, is to have it there so that we know what to do in those times. A lot of people might not hear this or even study that, and then it's like, I don't want to say it's too late, but it's so much harder them to find the joy and to get their mind back to the Lord and his goodness, regardless of what we have, like you just said. His goodness is always there, regardless of how we feel, what we're going through.
Makes sense? And it's really grounded in where our hope lies. Again, it says, for this is God's will for you who to belong to wow. Christ Jesus.
Wow.
That our joy doesn't come from man. I would just be more joyful if God would fix my marriage. I would just be more joyful if God would bless us with a child. I would just be more joyful if God would fix my financial circumstances. And God does move in powerful ways for those things, but ultimately, like, my source of joy isn't whether you know, a loved one will be healed ultimately from a disease and live an extra 20 years, or whether my finances will be blessed or not blessed, even though those things are hard and God empathizes with those. But my joy comes from, hey, that relative who passed, they believed in Jesus and they're in heaven for eternity, right? All the money that I have in the world will fade away. It's trash compared to knowing true. Jesus. And it grounds us in where our hope is, because I think sometimes even we as Christians have a misconception that, man, I would have a reason to be joyful if God would help me through that obstacle in our life.
Yeah.
And God does help us through obstacles in life. He's constantly, he is the way maker, right? He is opening doors. He is tearing down the enemy's strongholds in our life. But ultimately, our source of joy should not be from how blessed or how unblessed our worldly circumstances is. Like, I am just constantly trying to cling to the fact that one day when I take my last breath, that I will be face to face with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I'll be able to live in peace eternally with God the Father because of what Jesus did for me, his death and resurrection on the cross and in the tomb. So
amen.
It grounds us in what are you really putting your hope in? God does care about all of those things. He cares about your sick family member. He cares about your mourning friend. He cares very much so about how you manage your finances and how your marriage is going. But he doesn't want you to put your hope in those things. And the thing that we should always be joyful about and to always be thankful for in all circumstances is that no matter how this ends, ultimately my hope is secured already through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who I'll get to spend eternity with, in heaven.
And I, and like, just knowing you personally, it's like you say, you're very energetic, you're alive, you're on fire. And it's
sometimes
if not, I mean, let's say most times, man. And I know even sometimes when you're going through things, as we all go through, but I think that's important as a Christian, is like, you still exemplify that joy and that love, the peace to impact others. God still uses you when you're finding that joy, even in the tough times. Because viewers, just so you know, we all have our problems in our lives. We really do. And that's why it's so important to go to the Word, because the Word helps us get through these things. Now, I want to go to the next part, be joyful always. Pray continually. When I read that, I think, so I start my day before I get to my phone, before I get anything else, I pray. Lord, whether it's short or long, I pray what's on the heart. Lord, guide this day, use us, use my family, right? And it starts that prayer, and then I'm in that prayer throughout the whole day, and every decision I make, everything we do. When we get to the studio, me and Doug pray. You get here, we start talking about the Lord. We just stay in that fellowship on the way here, listen to worship music or a podcast that's Christian. We stay in that prayer continually. What does that say? Like, what can you say about, you know, praying continually? What are things that have helped you with prayer throughout the day? Do you have anything you want to add on to what kind of I'm saying?
Yeah, prayer is essential to the life of a Christian. You can't live the life of a Christian without prayer, without prayer or scripture. A theologian was once asked, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, but it might be someone else. You can Google this quote. But this pastor was asked, what is more essential to the Christian life, prayer or scripture? And the pastor replied, what is more important, inhaling or exhaling?
Oh, wow.
You'll just die without either.
Wow,
you can't live a Christian life. Maybe we can talk about scripture another day, but talk about prayer today. It's like trying to live without inhaling oxygen. Like, it's impossible. You need prayer to live a strong Christian life. One of the verses that always convicts me, you're asking what's helped me through this, is it's in the book of John. I'll turn there and read it. And John is talking about Jesus. It's in John chapter 1. He gets right to it. It's chapter 1, verse Let's see. Is it 32? It's early in the morning, Jesus went out to a quiet place to pray. Mm. Let me find this.
While he's looking for that, I got a new Bible. Doug helped me find another. So my wife is, you know, from Brazil. She speaks Portuguese, and with our newborn Psalm, she's speaking only Portuguese to him. So me, Jason, Carter are constantly picking up words. So I'm constantly picking up little Portuguese. And then the other day, Doug had a Bible that had both Portuguese and English in it, and now I have that. So on one side is Portuguese, other side is English. And I've really been enjoying that. Doug helped me, our producer, find that, and it's helping me as well. But, yeah.
All right, I found the verse. It's not John. It's Mark chapter 2, verse 35. I'll read my NLT translation, and you can actually read your translation as well. We'll both read it so the viewers can get it. But it's Mark, book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 30. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says this. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray.
Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed.
So I'll make the point simply and quick talking about prayer. Who in the history of the world, in the history of humans, has ever had a closer relationship with God the Father than Jesus Christ?
No one.
And it's not even close.
Bro,
okay.
Come on.
And before anything, early in the morning, what does Jesus do? Yeah.
He prays. He gets alone with his Father and he prays.
Alone with his Father and prays. Mm. And just take this very simple point. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God in human form, got up in the morning before anything to start quiet prayer and communication with his Father, then how the heck do we humans think that we're going to be able to fully live out our calling?
Correct.
If we are not leading with prayer, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God in human form, is waking up before he does anything to go out before the sun rises to pray, how do we Christians think we're going to be able to fully live in God's strength if we're just trying to get by on the fumes of a quick, like, 30-second prayer in the middle of our Instagram?
Wow.
Like,
wow. It's you make a great point. We'd like to encourage any of listening in that you really aren't starting your days with prayers. Please start waking up. Even put a little note by your table side. Hey, don't touch anything. Before, you know what I'm saying? Because what happens is people go right to their phone and you're locked into this device for the rest of the day. The world just starts taking you for the rest of the day. You start with that prayer. Watch how your day just is so much better. I'm just going to be straight up.
Yeah.
It just changes your whole day. You're in tune with your Father. And throughout the rest of the day, it's just like you're in this different flow rather than if you just had no conversation with him in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And just to be clear, we are saved only by the blood of Jesus through the grace and the free gift of Jesus Christ, not by our works. You're not saved by your prayer life. When you get to heaven, you will not be let in or denied based on how good your prayer life is. So don't get discouraged.
Right.
Don't think you're not saved. You can have a bad prayer life and be a Christian, but you can't have a bad prayer life and be a strong, mature Christian.
No.
That's just the truth.
It's the truth, man. I was worried where you're going with that for a second because I was like, what?
Yeah.
Thank God you said the second part because I was like, yeah, you if you're on fire for the Lord, you're in prayer life. You just know that people are in prayer. You know what I'm saying?
You can be saved and struggle with your prayer life, but you can't be fully living out the calling that God has set aside for you and have a bad prayer life. Amen. It's just the truth. Yeah. Sure.
So, Luke, we're going to cut the show there because we're going to have you back on because we have other topics we want to talk. I know you have some like awesome, just kind of like supernatural miracle stories as well. You know, that I've shared the one in Philly. I know you have some other ones that you want to share in the future, and I'd love for you to be on the show for that specifically. But also, we're going to get lost, and I know you have somewhere to be very shortly. So I'm going to stop us there. But before that, I'd like you to read the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 one more time, just so we remember the verse of the day. And then we're going to pray out of here, my brother.
Yeah, praise God, praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Always be joyful. Mm. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Mm. Amen. Luke, pray us out, please.
Yeah. Lord, I just pray that you help us be joyful today, Lord, because of our hope that is secured through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you help all the watchers here on this episode, and listeners, and Kyle and myself and Doug in the studio, Lord, to be convicted to spend quiet time with you. Certainly, Lord, our salvation is not our prayer life, God, but you desire to have a close, intimate relationship with us. And I pray that you would just bless us with conviction and strength to spend time with you, that we may be able to fully live in strong relationship with you, God. And I just pray for Kyle's family, pray for this podcast, that whether there be one viewer, 100 viewers, 100,000 viewers, that you would lead these individual podcasts to the people you want, so that you might use the scripture talked about to speak truth into people's lives. We just pray protection against all the enemy's scheme. May no weapon formed against us prosper. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys. Luke Staley on another edition of the Sefcik Show, and we'll see you next time. God bless.